This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
So he spoke here about the difference between Adam Rishon before the Chet, Adam Rishon after the Chet, and he said Adam Rishon before the Chet was this perfect person, the balanced, and exactly the way we described it. Zion. He adds one more nekuda here. Tzorach she'teida she'aval pi she'inon emagish l'nesham v'guf pu'ula cheres zula sachiyus v'askola. I mean, if we tell somebody, describe to me the neshama. What? Here's a person. He's flesh and blood. Where exactly is the neshama? So I'll point to two things that are not flesh and blood. I'll point to his life force, something about his koach achias, and I'll point to his understanding. Now, the two activities a person engages in, that something beyond physical is there, I would say is achias, and for Adam, haskala, understanding, and so on. So he says, but hine be'emes yesh b'chuka, it's mezachich the guf and the chayme, v'talehu ilu yache ilu achi royal eslavisim banor b'shleimus. So the neshama itself is not only something in its own right, but it's something that is mashpia on a person's physical mitzias. Let's take a simple example. If you look at a person who's chashev, there seems to be something in his features that seem to convey that, a certain edelkeit, a certain refinement, you know, different things of that nature, whereas somebody who's coarse, the expressions on his face, everything about the person is coarse, somebody whose pnimius is more refined, one expects to find something, a mark that it's left on the chitzonis. Just like if a person wears clothing for a while, so the clothing are shaped by the body. So in a place that you know, some places it stretches, some places it sags, there's some reflection of it, sort of reflecting the person. The same thing is true with the neshama and the guf. And it's an important understanding for the following reason. The picture of life that he's coming, lafuke, is as follows. That the neshama came to this world, it was given a guf to sort of be a nisoyan, to keep in this world, however you want to describe it, and the mashal would be, it's like a prison of some sort, or a car, and then the neshama leaves, and that's it. That's the picture that he wants us to understand is not true. What he does want to convey is that the neshama has a certain effect on the guf and refines the guf. The tachlis of our mitzvahs in this world is that the neshama be mashpia on the guf, and that the guf itself sort of become ruchni enough. Meaning, let's give an example. If a person's neshama, if a person works on himself on kedusha, the guf itself does not instinctively turn to look at what it shouldn't look at, and so on. It becomes part of the instincts of the guf. Just like a soldier, the instincts in his body are in tune with what he knows and understands and worked on consciously. So a soldier works consciously on looking for the enemy and listening to sounds, hula hula. Then it becomes a reflex of his body. A person who works Sarakatusha and Tov and so on, his instinctive reactions to life are in line with Kedusha. That's called being mezachich the guf, and that's how the guf can become something worthy of Tchias HaMesim, Olam Haba. There's a big machlokas Rishonim, we'll touch on it later. The Rambam holds that the world of Lasid Lavo is only in Neshama. Tchias HaMesim is some sort of interim stage to that. The reason he says is very simple. Olam Haba is a ruchnistic experience. The guf is wrapping, it's physical, and it can't be mitzarif to that. The vast majority of Rishonim argue with him, but it means the guf has to become a guf that is sort of expresses the ruchnius, its instincts, its reflexes, everything about the guf are in line with the neshama. It would have Adam Arishin had he not sinned. So what was his avoda? In other words, so what was Adam Arishin doing in Gan Eden? It wasn't finished. So what was happening? The answer was he was at at a certain point of equilibrium, and from if he would have done only tov, from this point onwards, his guf would have become more and more mizukach. As his osek in ruchnius, his guf becomes more and more tahar, and he would have been zocha so that him, the neshama and the guf together would be a part of olam haba, would be part of Gan Eden. Since he didn't do that, as it continued later on, everything went down, and now we have to bring back the guf to where it was before the chet. But the etzem avodas adam is to take chomer and turn it into something ruchni. I want to give examples because people. Let me tell you what the mistake in this point is. People think this is automatic. Christians believe in mortifying yourself and so on and so forth. We believe that we can make the gashmias holy, so eat as much shalt as you want, drink as much whiskey as you want, and it's all for the good. That's sort of the theology of sorts, the Kiddush Club theology. It's as wronger than wrong than wrong. The pshat is a person's the ability. Lamash, let's take two examples. Imagine a young boy goes to a chasana. So a very young boy runs around at the smorgasbord and at the Viennese table and at this and that. He's running for the food and hopping and grabbing and this is great. This guy that. That to him is the chasana. Somebody older does it with the bar. Same thing. Teenager runs to the bar and he grabs whatever he can, makes himself crazy, and that's it. Somebody who's worked hard, his kids are getting married, took a long time, a lot of angus nefesh, now he's married. All the food and everything else, it's a setting for an incredible simcha, for an incredible emotional simcha the person has. So to him, all the different things, it's just an ambience to bring out the event as he sees it. So when he's looking around to want to have it as nice as possible, whatever his misogama, he's looking to express very deep feelings in the way he's making it. So the same type of same platform can be chaimer for one person, and it can be some for somebody else. One person interested in nice suits or clothing. And Shabbos is a good example to show it off. Another person, Shabbos is very Kaddish, and the fact that everybody sits clean and dressed nicely and everything is different and much nicer, creates a certain atmosphere that resonates with what he feels about Shabbos. So when we talk about making, being Mekaddish, the Chumri, that's what we're talking about. Let's give another mashal. A person's kaiva is blind, and a person wants whatever biologically we've been programmed to want, anything and everything. Hulu. A person works on himself. A person understands what's right, what's wrong. A person understands where to focus, his taivas, etc., and that the taivas and tremendous physical koyach to create a bond that's a family and what a family is, and so forth. It comes to a point where it says by Yosef HaTzadik that hu loy nasen einov b'mashe einosheloi. He didn't see something, a woman that's not him, for him, not his, not for him, he didn't notice. In other words, he just drew back. It's the same way, so it almost happens instinctively. A person naturally likes to gossip, likes to know what's going on everywhere, likes to be busybody, v'chulu. Person works on himself, and at some point, as soon as he hears something that he feels not relevant to him, he doesn't want to hear it. He moves away instinctively. Those are examples of where the guf becomes, it resonates with the neshamas, and then that means that the guf became kaddish. So obviously we're holding that very high madriga. All of the stories they have of the Chavetz Chaim not eating something that was a suffix, that, you know, Zayisik with caution, all these things where people didn't have an appetite for things, that was because of a certain Kedushas HaGuf. That I once heard a very good vart. It was actually the day before my chasna. I was walking in Zichron Moshe. A yid stopped me. He asked me, how come Yeshiva Bocha is wandering at this time in the street? And something like that. So I told him, those had mashkichim all over. The mid didn't provide any, but Yerushalayim provided plenty. So I told him, I'm a chassan, and I do that. So he was very nice, and then he told me a vart. It says by David HaMelech, when he was being chased by Shaul, so Shaul, when he hid, Shaul was in a cave, he fell asleep, David HaMelech crept up, and he cut off a corner of Shaul's beged. And then he, went out, went to the other side of the mountain. He showed Shaul HaMelech and said, listen, I could have killed you. Why are you pursuing me? I don't want to, So it says in the Pasuk, Vayach leiv David. David's heart skipped a beat or kind of beat it hard. And then David stopped. You know, as he cut a corner, and then Vayach leiv David. So, the Al Shachar says that, what's the Pshat Vayach Leiv David? What's the Pasuk telling me? So Al Shachar says David's pulse was a pulse of Kedusha. And if his heart skips a beat, even if he doesn't understand why it's wrong, but if I say it's wrong, the same way somebody who's a soldier, been a soldier for many years, and he feels not good in this situation, he doesn't know yet, but his instincts have been honed to a point where he feels before he even sees and is cognizant. So Kedusha, David HaMelech's heartbeat was Kaddish, and if his heart skips a beat, it's a simon, it's wrong. Even if he held with his Seichel Das, maybe not, but still that was the way it's described. Okay, we'll hold it here.